today on Real Radio.
If you as a Christian this morning understand where you are in Jesus Christ, you don't need anyone pumping you up. Listen, you are a Christian washed, saved, sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. God loves you so much. You don't need somebody to pump you up. You look in the Bible and you realize, God loves me.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What Glorifies God, Part 2, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Their journey begins in Jerusalem, but soon spreads to the Gentile world through Peter, John, and Philip, and through the miraculous conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who later becomes known as the Apostle Paul. In What Glorifies God, Part 1, from Acts chapter 12, verses 20 through 25, we discovered that we were put on this earth to glorify God. And a way to give God the glory is to turn our lives around by confessing our sins, so God can forgive us, heal us, and bless our lives. And now in Part 2, we'll see that just like in the Garden of Eden and in the days of Herod the King, we are living in an age of self-promotion and self-entitlement. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that we are given life by God, but we're deceived into thinking that we can be like God. Our purpose is to give God all the glory, including in our prayers. Refusing to give God glory can destroy the stability of our soul and lead to our own downfall. And now, in his lesson called What Glorifies God, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Why don't you grab your Bibles this morning and open them up to Acts chapter 12 this morning. And this is really going to be Part 2 of the message that we were going through last time together. Acts chapter 12, beginning at verse 20, and we'll read to verse 25. Acts chapter 12. Now Herod, when he had become very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, they asked for peace, because their country was supplied with the food of the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not a man." Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and he died. But the word of the Lord grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. And they also took with them John, whose surname is Mark. I don't know about you, but especially even after last week's blessing of having Hank here talking about what he spoke on concerning those that are misrepresenting the Word of God, and many of them, in fact, I heard one just yesterday declaring that he's God, these ministers, so to speak, of the gospel of Jesus, they want all of your money and they want all of your attention. They want all the glory, and they're making no apologies for it. And I was appalled. In fact, this morning, I was putting on my shoes and going looking for some news to see if anything's happened in the night while I was sleeping. And I came across a program where a guy was there, and the guy was standing there declaring his incredible, you know, deity, his way of who he is now in Christ. He is a little God. And how blasphemous that is. But how ironic. Because in our last study, we looked here at Acts chapter 12 at how Herod, this is Herod Agrippa, goes into that incredible amphitheater there in Caesarea, and he's standing there. Josephus, the historian, tells us the sun is setting. The Mediterranean is before the amphitheater. Josephus says even the weather was cooperating with the games. There were the mini Olympics going on as a token of appreciation to Claudius Caesar, who was there present. And as Herod walks out there and he begins to give this oration in the evening twilight sunset, Josephus, the historian, a non-biblical writer, said that as the sun reflected off of his garment, he looked like a god. And as Herod began to speak, people were just, "Oh my, Listen to that power. What an orator. Well, he was standing there in a robe that was woven with actual silver thread, silver the metal. Not you know, fabric that had been dyed silver. Silver thread. And the sun setting, glowing off of him. He looked brilliant. And he began to speak. And the people in verses 22 and 23 of Acts 12 says there that they began to say, in fact, in the Greek is they kept saying it over and over, where it says they kept saying, the voice of a God and not a man. The voice of a God and not a man. And it says there that because he did not give glory to God, he was smitten by an angel and he died. And we got into detail about the worms and all, and it was really gross. You got to get the tape. And he died. Took him 5 days to die. Why? Because he didn't give God the glory. Christian, if you are at any point in time exalted by adoration or whatever, you better be careful to deflect whatever comes your way toward the presence of God. You better be a good deflector, not a receiver, a deflector. When somebody comes up and says something that you might have done or that you or whatever, you better realize this one thing. The Bible tells us that there is no good that dwells within us. That if we are able to do anything good, it is because God is in us. And you might say this morning, well, man, that really puts a dent on my self-esteem. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't, because it gets better. The Bible says that there are none righteous, no, not one. The Bible even says that all of our good works are just filthy rags before the Lord. We can't do anything. Well, Jack, you're really making me feel bad. Listen, if you as a Christian this morning understand where you are in Jesus Christ, you don't need anyone pumping you up. You don't need someone to stroke you or to somehow build you up. Listen, you are a Christian washed, saved, sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're going to heaven. Your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son on the cross for you, that if you would believe in him, that you'd experience everlasting life. He loves you. You don't need somebody to pump you up. You don't need somebody to build you up. You look into the Bible and you realize God loves me. Charles Spurgeon says, I'm so glad the Bible says that God loved me before the foundations of the world were ever laid, because he sure wouldn't have loved me after I was born. God loves you. And I want you to keep that truth in mind as we go through this study. We're talking about what glorifies God. What glorifies him? It is the one absolute call above all calls in the universe of mankind and of creation itself, is to bring glory to God. You know, that's why you're breathing right now, mister and ma'am. That's why you're breathing. It's not for what you might think. You have life. You have been given a breath. You have been given a heart to pump this morning, because today might be a day that you give glory to God. And that's the reason. And that's very exciting, because the whole deck is stacked in our favor. God's purpose is for us to give him glory. Isn't that neat? This morning we can get up and give him glory. And I don't want to butter you up too much, but you probably gave God more glory than you think this morning. First of all, just by coming here, you're blessing him. And that's a wonderful thing. But you know what? Man has been absolutely consumed with this thing of self-deity. You know, everybody gets to be God. If you look at the New Age movement and some things going under the banner of Christianity, everybody gets to be God but Jesus. And that cracks me up. Everybody wants to pull Jesus down but exalt self. And do you realize that that is a message and a doctrine that's been around since the Garden of Eden? When Satan came to Eve and he told her, go ahead and eat the fruit, it's going to be great. Besides, you know, you'll be wise and all this stuff. And Eve said, no, no, you know, we're not supposed to eat this fruit. And the devil said to her, look, God knows that the day you eat this fruit, you'll become a god. And she went, oh, really? Wow. And it says there that when she saw that it was pleasant to the eyes, good, nice to the touch, tasteful, she took it and she ate it. But it was that little thing about you can become a god that nailed her. We are living right now in the most self-deifying age, I think, in the history of the world. It is becoming common for people to declare that they're a god. We've got the New Age movement. We got so many things going on. And as we studied last time, when the Antichrist in the book of Revelation is revealed, what does he say he is? He stands before the world and says, I'm God, doesn't he? In the book of Thessalonians. And we hear no rebuttal from the world because I think the world's going to go, far out, man. I've been contemplating on my navel. And my navel told me that I'm a god too. And everyone's going to be happy. It's true. Read your Bible. He's going to declare that he's God. But Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 23 declares that if we refuse to give God glory and to give him thanks, that our minds can become darkened. That God's eternal purpose and presence has been revealed to all mankind. By the way, do you have the question, what about the little guy with the bone in his nose running around Africa? What about if he doesn't hear the gospel? He has heard the gospel in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. It says there that all of God's creation has been exposed to his eternal Godhood and power, so that men are without excuse. Amazing. God will speak to all created beings of his about his creation and about his deity. But man wants to glorify himself. Herod is standing in front of a crowd, exalting himself, and God's going to bring him down. And we are studying what it is that brings glory to God. And our last time together, we studied two things. We're going to do 10 totally, and we'll get to the fifth one today. But if you're a note taker, listen up. What glorifies God? We studied last time that repentance, the change of heart and the change of mind, brings glory to God. In Revelation 16:9, the Bible says there concerning that seven-year period of time that's yet to come, that those who were scorched by the great heat that came upon the earth, they did not give glory to God by repenting. They could have repented and brought glory to God. Every time we repent, we bring glory to God because it's our heart's willful admonition that God is greater than I, that God is the one who forgives sin. I can't forgive your sins. No one can forgive your sins. The Bible says that there's one mediator, that there's one go-between between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. He's the one who forgives. We need to come to him. We need to do that through repentance. And then we saw also the second point is that we can glorify God by confession. Confession of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, that every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the what? To the glory of God the Father. We give glory to God when we confess Jesus Christ. Can you do that this morning? Can you confess Jesus is your Lord, that Jesus is Lord? Then when you do that, you give glory to him. By the way, in Philippians 2, it says every knee will bow. Someone asked me after service, does that mean even Satan will bow? Oh yeah, Satan's going to bow. He's going to bow and say, Jesus is Lord. Every one of us will. You might be sitting here this morning going, I'm not going to. Oh yeah, you will. It's amazing, you will. But the incredible thing is, I'll give you a little hint, a little clue. You ought to do it now rather than later. Because if you do it now, you get entrance into heaven, of course, meaning it in your heart. But then, in judgment, every created being will bow and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. And what's implied in the Greek is that they will say, he is Lord. He was Lord all the time. But we didn't bow. And so for those in this room this morning who can say, Jesus is Lord, you bring glory to God. Isn't that good news? Isn't that neat? See, I told you at the start of this message, you might have given glory to God without knowing it. Just by being here. Just by saying, man, you know what? I believe in Jesus Christ. God in heaven just goes, yeah! Love it. Well, we're going to look at the third thing right now. What gives glory to God? What glorifies God is prayer in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Prayer in Jesus' name. If you're taking notes, you're going to want to jot this down or mark in your Bible. What gives glory to God? It is prayer in Jesus' name. John 14, 12 says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me and the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." He's speaking this to his disciples. Verse 13, "And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do." Oh, really? Listen up. "Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." God wants to answer your prayer. Why? Because the Father is glorified. Look at verse 14. John 14, 14. "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Turn over to John 15, verse 16. John 15, 16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and ordained you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in the name, ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." Isn't that bold? Turn over to John 16, 23. John 16, 23, "In that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Drop down to verse 26. "In that day, you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you," look at verse 27, "because," or "for the Father himself loves you." God wants to answer your prayer. How do we glorify God? By praying in Jesus' name. Jesus says, "You come to the Father in my name." Now, what does this word name mean? Well, first of all, we understand that when we pray to the Father, we do come in the actual name of Jesus Christ. "Lord, in Jesus' name I come." If you want to be technical, you say, "Lord, I come to you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth," if you want. But he understands who you're talking about because he knows your heart. You need to come to God by his name. The word name here in the Greek means his character and his authority. When you come, Jesus says, "You come asking the Father in my authority and in my character." Aren't you glad it's in his character and not your character? You have to come in his name. Jesus said, "No man comes to the Father but through me." Why? Because he's the ultimate authority. He is the ultimate character, or of character. He's full of integrity. So when I come, when God listens, I say, "Father," I have his ear. "In the name of Jesus, I come before you, Lord." All right. What is it? I have confidence. I know that God is going to hear my prayer. He's committed. My mother got a communique years ago, I'm going to guess and say 6-7 years ago, maybe longer now. And a relative died in Sao Paulo, Brazil, left her $5.5 million. But there were stipulations concerning the money in the community that it was at. So much money was invested there that if she was to pull it out, it would cause a problem in the community, a very serious problem. So the government was involved in it. And they said, there's no way that you can pull all of this out. It'd destroy this community. And we can't have that happen. So the government stepped in to regulate. Well, they were meeting with attorneys about how to handle this stuff and a bunch of things going down. And they said, "Well, look, there's two ways. A certain bank that you know that's here in America, headquartered in Santa Monica, said, listen, you either move down to Brazil and live there, and you can have the money," which is to my mom and dad, because they bleed red, white, and blue. And that was absolutely not a consideration. Or the bank said, "We'll get it out for you." And so my dad said, "Well, how are you going to get it out?" And they said, "Well, you just leave that up to us." "Well, what do you mean?" "Well, we'll get it out, but we want half." True story. So my dad asked, how are you going to get it out? It was illegal how they were going to get it out. So my dad, who bleeds red, white, and blue, says, no way. And they walked out, left it. The attorneys kept writing back and forth, They would not respond at all unless it was in my mother's name. The moment she signed or the moment she committed with her name, the wheels began to roll. Things began to happen because the attorneys moved in the power of her name. Are you with me? When we come before God, we say, in the name of Jesus Christ, it's not a little rub your lamp and in Jesus' name. It's coming before God, understanding the character and the nature of who he is, his very authority. Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus, your only begotten son. Hey, the ear is open. The door swings wide open that God would hear. Jesus' name is the qualifier regarding our prayers. It is to pray according to the word and the will of God. I'm going to say something that sounds radical, and if you're willing to understand this, it's pretty liberating. But every one of your prayers can be answered if you want them to be answered. And you go, what? If you pray according to the word of God. You see, we get all wiggy because every prayer answered, that's a... Well, God's not going to answer the prayers that you pray like I pray sometimes. Oh, God, I need a Suburban. God, I just, you know, Lord, long and big tires. And I can really get in the flesh about that vehicle. I think they're wonderful. And I've told God all about them. And I said, God, if you give me one, I'll take every kid in the neighborhood to church. Now, I know my heart. I probably wouldn't even let my own kids in the car. You know, not only do you have to take your shoes off, take your feet off, then get in the car. Oh, but God, I need that. Oh, Lord, I'll glorify you if I just have this thing. And God says, you will not. He knows my heart. I'm a liar. We're all liars. Jack, how could you say that? Listen, the fishing trip's coming up. Everyone's going to be on that boat and talking about how big that fish was. We're off the wall. Oh, God, if you just do this for me, I promise to serve you. Hey, if we pray according to the word and will of God, we can bank on getting an answer. The answer might be yes. The answer might be no. The answer might be wait. But God will answer according to his will.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called What Glorifies God, Part 2. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that whatever you do it all for the glory of God. What Glorifies God, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, keeping our eyes off of ourselves and on what would please the Lord and bring Him glory takes a special kind of determination and focus. That's why starting the day with devotions is a great way towards a meaningful and lasting relationship with Christ. But with tight schedules and hectic lifestyles, we don't always want to waste precious time searching for inspiring devotional material. So, Pastor Jack has written and provided them for us. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the tab labeled Devotions. There's a new one every week, along with quick and easy access to previous devotions, with titles such as The Eternal Love of the Lord, Our Awesome God, and Blessings in Abundance. You can even subscribe to Pastor Jack's devotional newsletter when you type in your email address. Again, it's available on our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also have access to Pastor Jack's devotions when you download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.